This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's been a very interesting show, and we're not done because the Power Hour West is going to begin with another legend. Ironically, that tie-in between North Carolina and Kansas, we've been talking about it a bunch today with Coach Smith and Roy Williams, and this guy joins us now. Absolute brilliant coach. Larry Brown joins us. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing fine, guys. Great seeing you again. I see you every day when I'm in Charlotte. You brighten my day.
Well, we appreciate those kind words. So how crazy was it yesterday? I mean, we all kind of thought it was an April Fool's joke right after we signed off around 10 a.m. And again, you've had great connections to great coaches and programs throughout your entire career. But what was that like yesterday when you got the word that Roy Williams was going to step down at the University of North Carolina?
Well, it's kind of deja vu. When Coach Smith resigned, I had training camp in Chapel Hill. And, you know, at that time, practice didn't start till October 15th. You couldn't even see the kids from after the season till October 15th. And he came in. I used to show him my practice plan. I really never had a practice plan except when I was around him, and I'd show it to him, and he'd look at it, nod his head, and he told me he was retiring. And the first thing I thought was, gosh, he's got to be sick. And he said, no, Larry, I'm just tired of all this minutia around that I have to do. If it was just basketball, I could handle it. And he said, I'm going to get him to hire Bill Guthridge. And I think at that time they were only going to give Bill a one-year deal. And then Coach said, wait here. And he went into Bedore's office, came back. He said, Bill's going to do it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that was the greatest thing because he kept it in the family, left Bill with a really, really good group. And it was kind of a relief. I don't know if Bill really wanted to be a head coach, but because of Coach did it at such a strategic time, he had to do it. And it worked out great. You know, he coached 4 years, had a lot of Carolina people around him. It was really something that made Coach real comfortable. But then, you know, see Roy do it, again, the first thing came to my mind, you know, he must not be feeling well because he had such a passion, and I thought he enjoyed this season and these young kids so much. It kind of really surprised me. So obviously my phone's been blowing up, and I'm really thankful that, you know, I texted Hubert a couple of times. He said, Roy's fine. He was just tired.
Yeah. Coach Brown, when you think of Carolina basketball, and you are as qualified to answer this as anybody else we could have on this show, because your ties to Carolina start all the way back in the early 1960s, when you think about the legacy and the coaching legacy of a singular program like Carolina, this is monumental stuff when a Roy Williams steps away with 900 wins. Dean Smith left with almost 900 wins. I mean, this place is unique in that light. And you've obviously, as an assistant and a player at Chapel Hill, but you also coached at one of the other iconic places that Roy Williams did in KU. I mean, you understand the depth of this makes this different, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there was a time, you know, Coach Smith called me up when Bill resigned and said, Larry, I'm going to recommend Roy for the job. You know, he's a college coach, got college ties, but if he don't accept it, I want you to come and follow me. I want to keep this in the family. And then he said, you know, Larry, my goal someday, if you're here, when you finish, hopefully Phil Ford would take over. Because, you know, the African-American kid has meant so much to Coach and what they've done for the program. And as it turned out, it didn't work out for me that way. But fortunately, Roy took over for Bill, you know, after spending 15 years at KU. And he's just carried on. I don't think anybody could have done it any better. made Coach Smith any more proud than both Bill and Roy in the way they've conducted themselves, the way the program's developed, the type of kid they've turned out. I think he'd be smiling right now. And my hope, maybe I'm wrong, you know, I've been hearing a lot of names. I have a gut, in my gut, I hope Roy Williams picks the successor, and I hope it's somebody from the Carolina family. I'm not telling anybody how to do their job or what's in, how to, they should act, but I just know what Coach Smith would want. I know what Coach McGuire would want. I know what my high school coach, Bob Gersten, would have wanted. Keep it in the family. We haven't had a problem with it, and let's move forward.
Coach, I'm going to ask you kind of a crazy question. It's not necessarily Roy related, but it's basketball related. And you've had such incredible success on all the levels, player, coach, the whole deal. You were the coach at UCLA. You're a coach at Kansas. You got North Carolina ties. I mean, those are as three as blue blood as it can get. You throw a Kentucky reference in there if you're in the mood. What distinguishes North Carolina basketball from Kentucky and UCLA?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. UCLA is different from everybody because they're in L.A. It's a city school. You know, they have the Dodgers. You know, they have the Rams. They have the Lakers, the Clippers. They have so many other things. Kansas just has basketball. You know, North Carolina is in an area where basketball is so, so special because of all the iconic programs. But, you know, I'm a Carolina guy. The fan base, the excellence, the people that have, you know, been on top of the program, the way they've handled themselves, the players that they've turned out, the loyalty amongst the players and the fans, it's just unique in my mind. It's somewhat similar to Kansas. You know, when I went to KU, the first thing I did was walk up in the stands in Allen Fieldhouse, and I was sitting down with people that have been there since 1952 or 3, whenever Allen was built. Came to every game, cared so much about the program. They had more people in the Hall of Fame than any other program. They were so proud of the program. And then, you know, here I am, UCLA, Kansas. I have, you know, Coach Smith. I was his assistant. I played for him and Coach McGuire. I just got this feeling, wow, Carolina is unique, Kansas is unique, and I don't know how anything compared to it in my mind.
All right, let's get down to the nitty gritty. So Roy's retired. I know how this works for you guys. So there'll be at some point down around Pinehurst where it'll be you and Roy and maybe Hanners and a couple other guys. So how's that golf game going to work now that he doesn't have to use the coaching excuse?
Well, he's going to be mad at me because I'm 80. I'm going to play for those front-ass tees. So, no. He's not 80 yet. So, instead of me hitting a drive, a three-wood, and a wedge, I'm going to be hitting a drive and an 8-iron. So, I don't know if a lot of those guys are going to like that. But there's going to be more than just Roy and Hanners and myself. There's going to be a whole lot of Carolina people, and they're all going to be begging. I promise you that.
Yeah, I got news for you, Coach. As competitive as Roy is, I don't think he's going to let you get up those front tees. He's going to say, hey, big man, you step in the back here with the rest of us. I know how he rolls on that golf course.
He let Bill Guthridge and Coach Smith do it, and they were younger than I was. So, you know, I really won't beg. I promise you. But every shot I hit, I'll have the wind at my back. I promise you that.
Well, I know this now. Yeah. If Roy's watching this morning's show, he sees this interview, you got no chance. You lost all your leverage because Roy's going to have a game plan for you, my man. I've got news for you.
Well, all I know is, and you guys, you know, I hear you. I remember I was listening to you, and you had him on before a game, and he said he wouldn't come back unless he won. He was so superstitious. Yeah. Oh, I got a kick out of that. And he did win the next game, which which made me smile. But I just hope he's happy. I'm so proud of what he's done and what he's meant to the program, what he's meant to kids. I really, and I know you guys, there's a lot of people we can talk about that are qualified. Top of my mind, right away, I thought about Hubert. I thought about Jerry Stackhouse. I thought about Wes Miller. I just want Roy to, you know, have a say in this whole thing. And I know whoever takes over, if he has Carolina ties, if Roy Williams has touched his life, or Coach Smith has touched his life, I know we're going to be in good hands.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it is, it's great to see you. Stay well. I tell you what, if my dad were alive and knew we were talking and we didn't talk about Stacy Hall, we'd be in real trouble, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's probably true, but you've carried on pretty well, and the Packer family is pretty well represented.
Appreciate it.
So thank you, Larry, you're great. You guys. Take care.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right.
Stay safe.
Thank you. You bet. Larry Brown, that's phenomenal. Fun to visit with Coach Pack.
Oh,
great insight. By the way, you're right. UCLA, KU, Carolina.
Ooh. Well, I mean,
Kentucky, throw that in there.
Well, I was going to say, if you're a college basketball junkie, and I said to you, name the top five basketball programs and traditions, you may come up with a couple, but I guarantee you the combination of North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, and UCLA, if they're not in your list, you don't know what you're talking about. And the guy we just spoke to, has ties to just about everybody and their brother. I mean, he's been a phenomenal coach on every level. And, you know, for Larry Brown to give you some insight about Roy and Dean and Carolina and UCLA and Kansas, you know, I just would tell you to pay attention to the quote-unquote elders. You may learn something, right? Kind of neat.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, to close the story for those of you, my dad and Larry Brown – and Billy Cunningham and a couple other guys were all basically in about three rooms together at Stacy Hall in Chapel Hill as freshmen and sophomores at Carolina. And we didn't have enough time, obviously, with Coach Brown. Maybe next time we'll do that, Pack, where we talked about wearing the overalls in the ABA coaching with Doug Moe on the bench of the Carolina Cougars. That'll be next.
The old ABA days, man. Red, white, and blue basketball, man, and fashion that I hope never does go full circle. If that comes back in style, we are toast. Yeah. We're toast.
Could we get Larry back one day to talk about the ABA?
Oh,
the night
God.
He wore the overalls and Wilt Chamberlain wore the Huarache sandals and the silk shirt.
Oh, my God.
It probably took $1 million off the Arizona worm farm to make.
The right. only thing
we got to take a break.
I was going to say, Wes, the only thing close, the only thing that I know of that is close to that is when our man Maui Mike up there in Notre Dame decides to show up for a pair of shorts and a baseball hat. That is the only thing in today's modern day that comes close to the infamous ABA approach.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Obviously, a lot of Roy Williams conversation on the show, and rightfully so. But, you know, leading into yesterday, before we knew what was going to happen in Chapel Hill, we talked about Duke and North Carolina lacrosse. On the men's side, 1-2. And we told folks, hey, if you haven't watched lacrosse yet on ACC Network, this might be a pretty good one to check out. Two best offenses in the country. Yeah. The league is loaded with top 10 teams, just like the women are. And you know what, Wes? Believe it or not, if you watched it, you probably sat there and said, you know, those two morons on the morning show, they knew what they were talking about. Because that match last night lived up to the hype. And it was fast, furious, and right from the get-go, they were on attack mode, both of them. And, man, the defense early, it was 1-1 forever. I'm thinking, man, West was right. He was saying 5-4 in the third, and here we go. Nobody could score early, even though there were shots on goal every 10 seconds, it seemed like. But what a wild match. I mean, it turns out we got a little bonus time. Duke knocked off North Carolina in overtime, and it was a great, great match. Tons of fun to watch.
Yeah, great coverage last night from Chris Cotter and Quinn Kesnick as well.
Yep.
Joe game Robertson, winner. The game right winner. Yeah. Go get it. tremendous, tremendous game. You know what it really does? It sets the table. Joe Bresci was talking to us about that rotation back around to Duke and Carolina of games for the Tar Heels. Same for John Donowski and Duke, too, Pac. I mean, think about it. And if you're Lars Tiffany in Virginia, if you're John Desko at Syracuse, you're kind of in this mix now. I mean, that's what you were talking about when we were saying all these top 10 men's teams.
Notre Dame.
Think about it. Every time you strap it up now, it's a go.
When you've got five teams in the top nine on the men's side, again, Notre Dame and Duke and Virginia and North Carolina and Syracuse, I'm just telling you, if you're sitting there going, oh, my gosh, the Final Four is going to end, we're not going to have anything to watch, wrong answer. We got a ton to watch, and this sport is so fast and so much fun. It's physical. It's got combination of everything if you've never watched it. And if you are into lacrosse, you know what we're talking about. I mean, the men and the women in this league, there's nothing like it in terms of the domination that this conference has with this sport. And it is a blast to watch. And if you loved 1-2 with the men last night, you're in business tomorrow morning with 1-2 with Syracuse and North Carolina on the ladies' side. So there is a ton to watch. But I thought both teams were terrific. You got bonus deal with overtime, walk-off win for Duke. Hey, that Duke-Syracuse match a week ago was incredible. That match last night was fantastic, too.
Yeah, Joe Bresci, by the way, a nod to Coach Williams last night. Did you notice that, Pac?
Yeah.
Had the RW put on his hat last night. I think we heard Emma Trenchard talk about it earlier. If you were in Chapel Hill for other sports, you saw Roy Williams at events, especially stuff like lacrosse and soccer, baseball. I mean, Pac, how many times did he go to Omaha following Mike Fox and the Tar Heels,
He was a fan.
He was an Omaha fixture. Yeah, loves it.
Yep. So, loved the school. School loved him.
Yep. So, all right, more to go. We got phone calls. We got a little bit of everything here. And before we're done today, apparently there's Packer and Durham merch on the streets.
We found that out.
Don't know if you're aware of this.
Yeah, we found that out, didn't
we? You aware of this?
I did not know until I saw the tweet yesterday. But I've told you this. Now, we've been doing this show for almost not quite 2 years. It'll be 2 years in August, which is hard to believe. Show 355 today. But I have said there is not a week that goes by that I don't get a handful of calls or mentions or emails or a tweet or something. Yeah. Hey, Pac, I'd love to buy a Packer and Durham hat or a Packer and Durham sweatshirt or a mug or whatever. And I'm like, I wish I could tell you to go to ESPN.com or PackerandDurham.com or somewhere to go buy it and get it. But we don't have it. We really don't have it. Yeah. And so lo and behold, here we go. How about this one yesterday? This is classic.
John Sasser. Hey, West Durham, when there's no official merch, you make your own. Wait a second, John. I mean, come on, man. Look, that's Nike gear. That's stuff Pac's interested in. Pac's all about the swag. A kid's got a Packer and Durham zip. That doesn't exist anywhere.
No. He just bootlegged it, made his own. And I hate to say it. Listen, the worldwide leaders made billions upon billions of dollars, but they're leaving some meat on the bone by not having a Packer and Durham merchandise department. I'm telling you, you'd get your money back,
limited
boys.
Limited edition.
Just saying.
It's the only one. John Sasser's kids walking around in a Packer and Durham windbreaker.
I mean,
that today for 18 holes.
Who was it the other day?
I could use that today on the first tee.
I think it was C.J. Spiller was on with us the other day, and I took a sip, and he goes, hey, man, where can I get one of those Packer and Durham mugs?
Where's my mug?
I'd sell you this one.
Hey.
We don't have it.
Bingo.
I had a Packer and Durham. By the way, I had a Packer and Durham baseball hat. I think it's the only one in the world. Other than the ones they handed out to us. There's not many. But I had one on
because I got
the other,
one.
All right. I had one. I was wearing it the other day and jumped into Ford F-150 and went somewhere to grab a sandwich or something. And the guy behind the counter was like, oh, man, that Packer and Durham shit, man, we have it on all the time. Now, he didn't even know it was me, right? So I got, because I wear the hat That's down good. Low. I wear the hat down like this. And he goes, man, we can't go with those Packer and Durham hats. I said, you watch that show? And he goes, oh, yeah, man, I watch it every morning. I said, you think they're any good? I said, yeah. I don't know if they're any good. He goes, oh, man, I love those. And that one dude's got the dogs with him. I said, oh, yeah, that guy. I said, he, what a loser he must be. Yeah. He goes, oh, no, no, no. So I had this entire conversation with a guy at a sandwich shop. He had no idea who he's talking to. And I laughed, but he said, man.
But you had the hat.
I had the hat. He wanted to know, where can I get the hat? I said, man, I don't know. I found this one on the street somewhere. Oh, man, they got to have him somewhere. So, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Had no idea what he was talking to. Had no clue.
Tell you what so we got, great. Though. You know what we got? What we got? We got a box.
Yeah, we got a box.
We got a box right there.
Boxes.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
For like a lot of these guys, they understand it's the Dean Smith Center when they pull up, but they don't understand what Dean Smith saw. And we've all tried to continue to push forward what Coach Smith started and his vision for this place.
Dean Smith is the winningest coach in the history of college basketball.
Oh gosh, Coach Smith, what he means to me is pretty easy. He was a mentor. Great, great, great teacher. The other thing is he really loved North Carolina.
What loyalty I've had, any man from my players over there, they're really special. That's all.
When I came back, Coach Smith at that time said, we need you. And I didn't want to let him down. A lot of things I do in coaching, I try to figure out would this make Coach Smith proud, and that's pretty important to me.
All right, let's go. Let's see who have I asked so far.
Coach Smith did it. Coach Guthridge did it when I was here playing on the freshman team 100 years ago, and I liked the idea. I would have make up a thought for the day that I wanted to give them and make them think about something that was really important to our team and its success, but something that was also really important to them that they could use in everyday life.
Christian, thought for the day.
If better is possible, good is never good enough.
That's right. Okay. Yes, we can. Bottom line is, if you can get better, then why are you satisfied with where you are? You can get better, so don't be satisfied with where you are. And just a quick...
I have hundreds, literally hundreds of sheets of paper, but also I have this. It's a little Rolodex, and I can pick out something, and I can see that Coach Smith used this, failure is success if we learn from it, January 23rd, okay, in 89. You know, so Coach had this for a long time, and he gave it to me when I first got here, and hopefully it's a few years down the road, but when I quit, I'll try to give it to the next guy.
Pretty
think
cool.
Think about the day where that happens, right?
Yeah, that's,
think about
what?
The day where that little Rolodex gets handed to the next guy.
That's why this coaching search is going to be fascinating to follow. It's not just a job.
Yeah, no.
This is one of those. Yeah. You know, this is one of those special gigs. Now there are not many of these, and the thing we have in this conference is there's a couple of those. Now, I mean, when that guy in Durham says, hey, I've had enough of this, will that be tomorrow or 10 years from now or anywhere in between or whatever? We're going to go through the same deal here. Prepare yourself. Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. You know, when you've been doing something at a ridiculous level for, you know, four or five decades, six decades, and whatever, these are special people. Right, they've had great success coaching their respective institutions and teams, but what they've meant to those schools and so forth. So, again, that's why we're celebrating Roy today, because one day he's not going to really do it justice. But if we didn't, shame on us, because we've been spoiled rotten with his greatness in Chapel Hill. I can tell you that.
Bubba Cunningham with the media last night on the quality of opportunity that the University of North Carolina presents.
right now, you know, I believe we've got the best job in college basketball. And this job doesn't come open very often. And we need to spend a great deal of time thinking about who is the right person right now. And I do think that, you know, the often used word is fit. I think that is part of it. And I think time and circumstance is all part of that as well. The history and tradition of here is winning. We've had it in the family for a long period of time. And that is important, but it's not the only factor in trying to make a decision like this. And so at this point, we're not going to have a search committee. It's going to be myself and the chancellor doing all of the work and the research in attempting to identify candidates that we think make sense for the university at this point. And then we'll make recommendations to our board of trustees.
I think it's smart. I really do. I think it's really, really smart on Bubba's standpoint. And for North Carolina, you don't need a search committee when you're in the University of North Carolina and you say, hey, listen, our men's basketball program is open. You don't need no stinking search committee. You know, you go find out. You know exactly how it ticks in Chapel Hill. So roll up your sleeves, get to work. There's going to be a lot of people interested in the gig. I can tell you that much. Now you got to go find the right person. Yep. And that's, again, for our standpoint, I'll say it again, we're going to have a front row seat to watch this. And like I said, it's the first of many dominoes coming down the pike here in the next 5 to 10 years, if not sooner, with legendary all-time great coaches. And we've got that in this league.
You had Chris Holtmann yesterday.
This
on off campus.
Yeah, we had a lot of great guests yesterday afternoon talking about this news with Roy Williams and Chris Holtmann. By just dumb luck, who's a tremendous coach at Ohio State, had great success at Butler, mm-hmm. same at Ohio State, and he had some unbelievable stories regarding Roy Williams and the impact that coaches had on his career. And he made a statement yesterday on our radio show on off campus that I think deserves some attention. And I just want you to hear what Chris said. We've been sitting here giving you all these accolades, right? 903 wins, 3 national titles, 9 Final Four. I mean, we could spew them forever and ever talking about how great it is. But here's a great young coach in college basketball and his basic premise on what Roy Williams is all about. Check this out.
I don't think he ever got enough credit for being talked about as an elite, as one of the all-time great coaches. And you see so many people when they would list the great coaches, and I look at them and said, didn't Coach Williams have 3 national championships? Now, granted, it's a blue blood. It's one of the elite jobs, but you still got to do it. And his system, I think we define coaching in so many different ways nowadays. But a big part of coaching is getting great players to play like great teams. And I think that's such an underrated talent and skill that he has. And I just never have felt like he was in that conversation enough. I just, you know, I could be wrong, but that's what I felt.
Wes, you know, just think about that a second. When you start to celebrate, I don't care what league, what team, what sport, what coach, when somebody steps down that's been great, I mean truly great, do you never hear somebody go, I think they were underrated, right? I mean, you don't hear that.
Yeah.
And I thought that comment was really interesting. And the other line, too, about getting great players to play like a great team, I thought that was incredibly insightful from a coach's perspective, right? As fans, hey, what's the score? Who won? All that. That's what we do. But there's the game within the game. And to get great players to play like great teams, I thought was a really, really interesting thought from Chris Holtmann, the outstanding coach at the Ohio State University. He was on our show yesterday afternoon.
Imagine the text exchanges that are going on between coaches today.
Oh, my goodness. No question. No question.
Just imagine.
Now, I know it's not a normal
rarely do you see the plate tectonics of college basketball move. You're getting ready to watch them move.
Well, I was going to say, normally you get to a Final Four weekend and there's a buzz about the games and all that stuff. And if we were having a normal Final Four weekend, can you imagine what it would be like in those lobbies and all that stuff in terms of, my God, the North Carolina job is open. I mean, I said, you rank them however you want. And there were a number of folks that who are real basketball experts that were on that afternoon radio show yesterday said this is the best job in college basketball. There are a lot of folks that say that. If it's not, it's on a really, really short list. And like I said, there are going to be a gazillion people interested in the gig. Let's see where it goes. Who knows? They stay in family, outside? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating.
We're fortunate. We had Eric Montross on earlier today, and I thought he said something among many things that were very interesting. But one of the things he said is you have to remember that when you're the head basketball coach at North Carolina, you're the manager of the – you're the administrator of the program. You're the kind of the CEO of the corporation, if you will. That it's much more than being the basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, as much off the floor as it is on the floor. Roy Williams embraced some of that because it was the University of North Carolina, a place he had great passion and loyalty for. That's also part of the charge Bubba Cunningham and Kevin Guskowitz, the chancellor, face, don't you think, Pac?
Without question.
You got to find, and it falls into fit, time, and circumstance again. I keep coming back to that because I thought Bubba just hit it right on the head last night as to the challenge of what you're trying to do here with the basketball position.
And I know there will be a lot of –
it's just not as easy as people think, and we go through the top of the list and pick one out. I just don't think it's that – that's simplistic. You gotta have some other considerations here.
I think there's a lot of people who are outside the ACC footprint that will go, oh, it's the North Carolina job. You know what? You can go hire anybody. They're going to win 25, 30 a year. Wrong answer.
It's not that.
That is the wrong answer. It is not that easy. I mean, there's a reason these guys are great. Dean Smith, great coach. Frank McGuire, great coach. Roy Williams, great coach. I mean, this is why it's one of the elites. You know, it just doesn't take care of itself. Now, do you have some built-in advantages? There's no doubt. That's only because of all the hard work of decades upon decades upon decades of greatness with players and teams and winning banners and all that stuff. And it gives you an advantage, but it doesn't mean it stays there. I mean, things change. You know, there wasn't that long ago this century that Alabama football was average. You know what? Not everybody can roll into a perfect case scenario and, hey, you automatically win. There was a time in the late 90s Oklahoma football couldn't beat anybody. You know what? Sooners had a pretty good run for a long time with great coaches. Nebraska football, goodness gracious, Devaney, Dr. Tom, they were incredible. Right now, Nebraska hadn't won squat in two decades. They're sitting around going, what happened to it? So you better make really, really certain when you've got one of those special places, and North Carolina basketball is just that, that the next guy understands what it is. It's not a job. It's bigger than a job. And the fact that you had a guy like Roy Williams and Dean Smith that, number one, understood it and then loved the institution back, that's a special dude now. Just saying, that's special. Mm-hmm.
No question. I think that's part of the deal you got to work with, is how all that fits itself together. And I look at what Bubba Cunningham and Kevin Guskowitz are going to do as the best of both worlds, Pac, because there's not an immediate link here, right?
Right.
You got to look, and you got to find out. And to your point, you got to find out who's interested in this, because despite the names and despite the popularity, It may not be a job for everybody, right?
Oh, well, no question.
Because
no doubt.
Yeah, and I think you gotta find that out. That's part of that process, because a lot of people may want to be the head coach at North Carolina, but they don't understand what being the head coach at North Carolina is. And rarely do you get to see this play out in public theater, but you're getting ready to. Greg in North Carolina is – we'll see if we can take Greg here before we go to before we get to the break. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Great show, as usual.
Thank you.
My question is, if you're naming two candidates to choose from, within the Carolina family, who would you say the administration would pick as their top two? And if they went outside the family, who, what does your gut say about the first two candidates? Would they go after maybe Jay Wright or somebody like that? Just want to know your opinions, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. Obviously, what we're about ready to tell you is purely speculation because we have no say-so or no. I mentioned to you earlier today, Wes, that if I were in charge, and I'm not, and it's a good thing for everybody, I would make two phone calls. And the first two phone calls before I did any due diligence would be to Mark Few at Gonzaga, who, by the way, is busy this weekend, and Jay Wright at Villanova.
Sure.
To me, given the landscape of what we're about ready to walk into with college hoops, I would find out just what kind of interest they would have. And if the answer is, hey, I'm humbled, I appreciate the phone call, I'm completely, completely happy at Villanova and Gonzaga, respectively, you thank them very much, you wish them the very best, and say, hey, hopefully we'll see you guys in March Madness next year. I would call those kind of guys. I'd even throw Brad Stevens in there with the Boston Celtics and go, hey, listen, you know what? You got one of the all-time iconic gigs with the Celtics. But you know what? Always was impressed with what you did at Butler. And this is one of those opportunities. Again, these gigs don't come open very often. Like Bubba said, I think those would be three guys I would call, quote-unquote, outside the family just to get a gauge of the temperature. And then, of course, you got to have your list with your inside the guys, right? Who's on our current staff that could step up and become the head coach? Is Wes Miller at UNC Greensboro ready to make the leap? Because all the North Carolina family guys, that's going to be, I'm definitely interested. It's North Carolina. It's my school. I mean, the Jerry Stackhouses, the Wes Millers. Jared Haas was with us yesterday, the coach at Stanford, who's got great ties. Of course, Roy Williams. All of them, I would assume, would have an incredible interest in going back to the University of North Carolina. And again, everybody on staff as well. But that is a really hard question, and that is exactly what Bubba and company are going to be facing moving forward.
Absolutely. I think the other it's an idea where I think you have to balance everything. And you just threw out, you know, from the Hubert Davis link of current staff to Wes Miller to Jerry Stackhouse to, you know, don't forget all the NBA people that are that have Carolina ties too, right, Pac? I mean, you got all those guys.
Yeah, we just saw Michigan hire Juwan Howard, and people went, man, what
Juwan
are
Howard
they,
off an NBA staff.
What are they doing? Well, you know what? I'd tell you, if you watch Michigan play this year, Juwan Howard was just named the coach of the year in college basketball. You surround yourself with, quote-unquote, people that really know the college game, and you can sell the whole NBA. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues to go here. I'm just saying. I mean, you got to think out of the box, and you really – have to do your due diligence. And that's why I love what Bubba said about we're going to make this call, not a search committee.
That's right. And that's why I think if you're a Carolina fan today or a fan of ACC basketball, you're glad to hear Bubba Cunningham say that he and the chancellor are putting this whole deal together. We're not using a firm. We're not using a search committee. They realize their charge is to identify a pool of candidates, and present that to the Board of Trustees. Simplistic operation. That's the hook here. And you and I both said before, we'd like it if more people did it that way, right? Rather than committees and firms and everything else. Not trying to put people out of business, but sometimes simplistic is the best way.
Wes, if an athletic director and a chancellor don't know what's in the best interest of their particular institution, then you've got the wrong AD and the wrong chancellor. And that's why I've always thought with search committees, hey, wait a minute, the athletic director, I don't care who you are, he or she, when your job opens up, your gig is to know what is in the best interest of your program. It's for somebody to say, we're going to go spend six figures on somebody, come tell me who we should hire, is to me one of the most ridiculous waste of time and money. And to me, doesn't tell me that you have a handle on your own job. That's what that tells me. Yeah. So I love what Bubba said last night.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Final segment of the week.
How you doing? All right.
Crazy week, man. What a crazy week.
Crazy Friday.
Whole week's been
nuts. Don't forget, yesterday everything was just fine and for about 10 more minutes, and then things went crazy.
Yeah. Well, the good news is it's Good Friday, and the boys
are
going to get
my camera. By the way, like my
what are you doing?
My camera.
You can complete control.
I'm changing things around, man.
You get to be the director. Changing things around,
Chrissy. Nah, Georgia? Chrissy's going to get upset with me. I got to be careful. She's done a phenomenal job this week.
Yeah, Chrissy and Meg rock.
So, by the way, I went and got something out of the closet during the break.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mine's a lot dirtier than yours. I got to tell you, mine's a lot dirtier than yours. I've got a lot more wear than yours.
Yeah.
I wear mine down so low, they have no idea who I am. Well, they don't anyhow, but nevertheless.
Well, of course not.
You watch that show?
Speaking of wearing it low, time for the Bojangles weekend menu.
Mm.
Like the tie there, don't you? That's exactly right. Coming up in 14 minutes, Mark Packer will be at a local Bojangles in the Queen City.
True. Brought to you by Dish.
For two bacon, egg, and cheeses and two plains.
No butter.
Here's the Saturday
no butter.
Forecast.
No butter
will,
on the biscuits
the
for the Bucks. The no boys butter. Don't That's like right. butter on theirs.
11 a.m. tomorrow, number one, number two in women's lacrosse, Syracuse at North Carolina. Then strap it up, the orange and white game at 1 p.m. from Frank Howard Field at Clemson's Memorial Stadium. Eric McClain embedded with Dabo Swinney tomorrow, by the way, starting at 1. Roddy Jones and I will also be there for the coverage. 5 o'clock, Virginia Tech at Duke softball tomorrow night. Clemson at NC State in baseball. And then Sunday, we got your baseball at noon, Carolina, Florida State, and 3 o'clock softball, Virginia Tech and Duke. That's all we got for you.
By the way, it is.
Bojangles. Hey!
Clifford D. Cat.
Clifford D. Cat.
10 home runs, right? Florida State, North Carolina. That was our number? 10 homers in that series?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, since you've got Clemson football tomorrow, I told you keep an eye on these rookie running backs. I keep hearing about they're going to be really, really good. But speaking of Clemson football, happy birthday to the Hemp King of South Carolina, youngster people. Danny Ford.
Coach Ford.
Here you go. You're talking about the dude can wear a hat now. This dude can do it. Spits the tobacco on you. We're gonna take this thing in the trenches. We're gonna run between the tackles. Danny Ford, was he great?
Can we go back to the second picture of him on his knees and freeze that, Drew? Chrissy, can we do that? There's some guy wearing a TV headset and jeans. It looks like Mark on the left side.
I don't think so.
Second picture. Not this one.
No.
Not this. There we go. Who's that guy on the left with the jeans and the headset?
That's not me. That guy's got a mustache. I don't have a mustache. Never have. Danny Ford. Youngster people.
Youngster people.
Hemp. People. Get me a blow me out the candles, my hemp cake. Youngster people. Danny Ford. God, I love him. One of the all-time greats. So happy birthday, Danny Ford.
What did he say about you in the TV show that time? What was it, Mark? I'm not doing a TV show today. What did he say?
When we had the deal to do Clemson football, and I remember walking up to him, and I said, listen, coach, I said, I know you hate Sunday mornings driving to Greenville, South Carolina, sit down with the legendary Jim Phillips and doing a 30-minute show, and you're sitting, you had no idea what was going on. Here's what we would like to do. We told him, I want 3 minutes of your time immediately after the game on Saturdays. You just give us what you thought, and we'll go do the interviews, and you never need to leave your house. That's a good idea. I mean, he hated doing it. But I'm telling you, the stories I could tell about Danny Ford are just phenomenal. But he and Frank Howard, man, we used to have some fun with those two now. Holy mackerel. But happy birthday, Danny Ford, man. One of the all-time great ones there.
Happy birthday, Coach. We need to get Coach on the show, Pac. You need to quit dropping the ball. We need Danny Ford on the show.
He's out on the farm making money. He's one of these guys.
Get him on the show.
Your knee hurts, Packer. Put some dirt on it. Let's go. You know, roll up yourself. Just like I said to you yesterday, you got to get to work. You know, nothing's easy with Danny.
Drew Brooks got Larry Brown from Stacy Hall on the show today. I mean, come on. We got Larry Brown from Stacy Dorm at Chapel Hill. I tell you what I'd really like to do.
When ESPN finally lets us get out of the basement and get together and start doing shows again, I'd love to do our show from Danny's farm down there in Pendleton, South Carolina. I'd love to do that. And we go to Max Drive-In. Danny Ford.
That'd be good.
At the farm.
Yeah. Go to Rick Irwin's at night.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.